Well, how about we look at starting the meeting get on to some serious business? Can we have a roll call, Christina?
Sorry, yes, I think Bart is on the line as well, and he was muted by the operator because his phone caused the echo. So.
It's all Bart's fault. We knew it all along.
We have Paulus, Eberhard, Bernie, Bill, Chris, Becky, Patricio, Yap, and I think Bart. Bart, it's star 7 if you want to unmute.
Suzanne Sen here.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Sam.
Hi there.
Okay, anyone else on the call who whose name wasn't called?
It's Kim here.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Okay.
Proceed now. We have an official GAC person here, so we can feel comfortable moving ahead.
Well, we better start behaving anyway.
Sorry, who's our official daft person? We've got a daft person.
Yeah, that would be me.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, we have an agenda that Bernie posted back on the 31st of March. With the permission of attendees, I'd like to just make a change to the order we deal with the agenda. I think item 3 is our schedule to Brussels, and item 4 is our new documents. I'd like to reverse those round and deal with the new documents first, because I think discussion on those documents may lead us to a better idea of our schedule through to Brussels. So unless there's any objections, I'd like to make that change.
No objections.
Cool. Okay, apologies. Are there any apologies? I don't think I've seen any on my list.
I have 2 apologies, just a moment.
Well, Patricio here, I apologize.
I have 3, actually.
Yeah.
I have from Anne Rochelle, Martin Boyle, and Annabeth Lang.
Martin Boyle and Annabeth Lang.
Patricia, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, I was trying to say that I apologize in advance because I will have to leave in about an hour. You have to stay here for 2 or 3 hours, but
I'm sure we'll be very efficient today and be through this call within an hour.
That's good because I'm going with him.
Okay. Okay, no other apologies. Is it the feeling of the meeting that the apologies be accepted? Cool. Can I just remind everybody, if you're not speaking, could you please mute your phone so that we don't get the series of crosstalk and interference with the call? Just a reminder, we take an iterative approach in this working group so that we won't make any firm decisions at this meeting without going through the process again at the next meeting, just to ensure that everyone's had an opportunity to participate given the unkind time schedule that these meetings occur at. In terms of a review of the agenda, other than reversing items 3 and 4, are there any other changes or additions to the agenda? Sounds like a no to me. Oh, someone just joined?
Yeah, this is Yingham.
Hi, Yingham.
Hi.
Okay, we'll go on now to the new documents. And I think firstly, thanks to Bernie for the incredible amount of work and the analysis of the delegations and redelegations document. I think just as a comment, it occurs to me that we've progressed our work considerably further than the idea of the initial stage of just dealing with delegations by having this analysis now that looks at redelegations and retirement decisions. And I wonder if then there might be a reasonable case to discuss whether our initial three-step approach of dealing in delegations, then retirements, then redelegations, may be now out of sync with where we are in terms of now having a colossal amount of documentation dealing with the entire issue of delegations, retirements, and redelegations. And I wonder if the working group might feel that we could proceed to the next stage of now preparing an issues paper covering the whole gambit and just open that up for discussion.
That's gone down well, Keith.
This is Becky. I've always thought that the dividing this up into sort of initial delegation, redelegation, and withdrawal was problematic, and that it made more sense to do it holistically. So to the extent that that's really what the suggestion is getting at, I would be a supporter of that.
Yep, that certainly is what my suggestion is heading down the path of. Any other comments?
Hi, it's Bill here. I think that there are a couple of separable concepts between delegation and redelegation, one of which is, of course, the new delegations coming down the road for CCTLD IDN names. And the concept of redelegation really is dividable into two other concepts, which is the non-hostile or voluntary redelegations versus the what I've called revocations and then new delegation. So I think there is a need to somehow create a structure that allows the separation of those concepts. Whether that happens as, you know, holistically or not isn't so important as the fact that I believe they are concepts that are not necessarily connected.
Okay, yeah.
Can I just ask a quick clarifying question? When you say a hostile or contested change, Bill, do you mean only contested by the current operator or by anyone? Because obviously there's a lot of parties that can contest the request. There's the government, there's other interested parties and so forth.
Sorry, it was Becky. I hit the thing and got myself knocked off.
So you missed all my cogent comments.
I did. I'm really sorry.
That's all right. I don't.
Don't worry, Bill. They weren't that cogent.
Yeah. Besides, it's all on record. Right. It's all recorded, including the echoes. Now I'm trying to rethink what I was saying and how to answer Kim. By hostile, I mean non-cooperative on the part of the holder of the delegation. Yes. Whether that, you know, I yeah, well, so much for the peanut gallery. Hold on.
Someone has to talk.
It's a matter of command and control, that's all, yes. He's in command and in control. The issue for me is more, you know, I think I sent an email to the list at some point where I tried to make my interpretation of the language in RFC 1591 clear, and that is that the only reason an existing manager would be removed from that if it were not a voluntary choice would be through revocation, which is a misbehavior of some sort. And I still believe that, and since it's never been tested in court because no one's actually gone to court over any of these things, then it was nothing but my opinion at this moment. But I do believe that it is a different concept from the idea of what kinds of principles and practices a new delegee has to meet in order to receive the delegation. Significantly different, I think. And I'm just saying, I think that whether we look at it all holistically, and I think we've just been forced to do that in order to get enough information to begin to put our thoughts together, I do believe we need a report which creates these three different answers to these three different questions: delegations, redelegations, and removals.
Sure. I'm not suggesting that a report should try and deal with the whole issues or whole set of issues as a single indexed kind of document, that it would need to address the issues relating to delegations, redelegations, and retirements at separate settings. But I think, I'm just feeling that we've made more progress than our initial mandate or pathway at this stage was leading us to.
The other maybe problem also is that if we do that, then we don't have these sort of breakpoints where we have an actual finished product of some sort over a scheduled period of time. Instead, we'll be having possibly repetitive drafts that will constantly be incomplete and honed and changed over time.
Yes.
Can I come in on what Kim has asked? It is quite obvious, and I think we have been discussing this now for about, ad nauseum. This is two totally separate issues, the rights of the current holder and any third parties wishing to give input into the discussion. These are totally different issues. And we are totally unclear where we are coming from and what the rights and whatever are. So at least to put this together would be totally impossible as far as I'm concerned.
But aren't you just highlighting exactly what the issue is, Eberhard, in terms of saying, the issue itself is what are the rights of existing CCTLD managers who don't consider a redelegation to be in order, and I'm not sure again that we can come up with the answer to that question, but that is the question.
Exactly, that's the question that I've been asking roughly once every 2 weeks for the last 6 months. I'm not expecting an answer from the manager of IABA. But we must find somewhere out where we can get an answer, or we must find an answer, or somebody must. And ICANN is acting on this in the end, so ICANN must the end tell us what they think the mandate is that they have.
If
they have a mandate, then the incumbent has got this and that.
Eberhard, it's Chris. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, One step at a time here. What we are actually talking about, I understand what you're saying, I'll get back to it in a second. What we're actually talking about is doesn't prevent you from talking from pursuing the line that you're pursuing. All we're saying is, all Keith's suggestion is that we need to produce a report at this stage, and the suggestion is instead of producing a report that simply deals with delegation, given that we have a huge lump of documents that go through delegations, redelegations, and retirements, it seems to make sense to deal with that, at least for now, in one document. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you need to acknowledge, or it may be useful to acknowledge, that there may not be currently an answer to your question, and that, in fact, part of this process has been to establish that there isn't an answer to your question, and that there should be an answer to your question. And then we have to try and figure out how we actually come up with that answer. So I think that it's important not to get the two discussions mixed up. The key discussion at the moment, was should we have a document that deals with all three issues at this stage? Did that, Keith, that is what you suggested, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
I agree with Bill that I would oppose that. I think we should deal with, like we said, we should deal with one thing at a time.
Well, then, what that would mean is that all of the stuff that goes to Brussels would deal simply and only with issues that have arisen from Bernie's research and everybody else's input that are specific to delegation only.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't hurt anything because the word is not going to get lost. When we've sorted out one, we can then turn our minds to the next issue.
Oh, well, you know, my perspective, Bernie's work, even though it looks at redelegations, addresses a lot of the matters that we need to be considered with respect to delegations, because obviously it's you know, the other side of the spectrum. You know, if you go in a tunnel, you come out the other side.
Which is precisely the point, Bill, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become clear to me, it's very hard to say, well, this is a specific delegation point. The moment you bring in a document or a board view or an IANA report that is actually a redelegation, then you're effectively stepping outside of that, aren't you? So
I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, these are founding points that we can use to look at what the current process is for delegation and point out, for example, if the current process for delegation conflicts with some of the decisions made in redelegation or not, and try and figure, part of what we're supposed to be doing is looking at existing practice and policy and seeing if there are any questions or problems that arise out of existing practice or policy.
Correct.
And one of those questions or problems might be some following stage, which is, say, voluntary redelegation, and if it's the same practice and policy or not, and so on. So these are threads that are going to be connected. But I think, from my own perspective, I think we'll be more productive if we do have separate products. But maybe others have a different view of how to structure this.
My own feeling is that they are so intrinsically interlinked now that it's sort of separating the issues as to what can be confined to purely delegations or purely retirements or redelegations.
I don't see how having more information, excuse me, sorry, go ahead.
No,
I didn't interrupt.
I formally oppose to put it in one big document.
We should deal
with one thing at a time. We have enough material to look at and take all the issues out of what Bernie has produced, what that deals with delegation, and put this into one report. I'm putting everything together makes it much more difficult. It's not that much time left, and it makes it much more difficult for us to address. I'm formally opposing this.
Okay, so I think at the moment, Bill and Eberhardt are not showing any desire to walk down this path that I'm suggesting. Becky's suggesting, on the other hand, that a very holistic view was always more appropriate in her opinion. Are there any other opinions?
What do you hear?
Yes.
Isn't it true that when you have a redelegation, once you split it in the two components, one is taking away from the current administrator the domain, or it being given voluntarily. What comes after that is the selection of the new operator that's very much like the initial delegation. So it would seem to me that there is at least an economy of a scale of merging both analysis together. But something that is certainly distinct is the process of revocation, probably, or whatever you call it. That is a different process and probably something that we should analyze separately.
Although that's an interesting point, Patricia. The only difference between, in my view, the only difference between a delegation and a redelegation is that in the case of a redelegation, there is already an existing delegate, right?
Yep.
So that's the only difference. So if it was really simply that the rules were, you had to show technical competency, and you had to have a government approval. Just say those were the rules, right? Technical competency and government approval. In a delegation, you show technical competency and government approval. The question then arises: if it's a redelegation, what, if any, role does the incumbent have? It seems to me that it's actually quite hard, and I've changed my mind about this because I originally thought that it would be easy to do three ways, but it seems to me that it'd be quite hard to, if you look at all of Bernie's documentation, the vast amount of it, if you ignore retirement, the vast amount of that documentation is to do with redelegation. The only delegations, I think, are ME and Serbia, RS and ME, I think, maybe AX.
EU.
So I don't know. What I'm concerned about, just to put my CC NSA chair hat on for a second, what I'm concerned about is that if we go to, we've got a chunky process that is sort of built around trying to get to the CCNSO members, and well, not just the CCNSO members, CCTLD managers, at meet ICANN meetings. And it would be good, I think, to try and have something, you know, reasonably useful to take them in Brussels if we can. I don't know whether Keith, just perhaps it would help, it would certainly help me. What did you, let's say we said we will do this, right? But we'll do it as one document. What sort of shape do you envisage that document taking?
Well, good point, Chris. I think where we are now, we have an analysis of the three policy and guideline documents, and we now have a huge amount of research into the actual decisions and a set of highlights of issues that fall outside of the guidelines to a degree, you know, where the board has said, okay, this particular delegation or redelegation, we're very concerned about wildcards and, we want some undertakings that you won't use wildcarding, etc. And you know, this is clearly outside of the auspices of 1591 or ICP1 or the GATT principles. However, it could well be attached to the ICANN bylaws as security and stability. And so you've got that sort of issue. Now, we've got a series of issues where it appears to me that the board have acted beyond the scope of the policies, and there are also some occasions where the board has overlooked an important principle of 1591 and allowed a delegation or redelegation to occur without having taken the policy requirements into account. And I guess what I'd see us doing is listing out all of those delegation, redelegation and retirement decisions that are sort of out of scope and then prioritising them as to which are seen to be more serious or less serious, with the more serious ones being the ones that could highlight whether the CCNSO should be embarking on a policy development process or not. So my view was, heading to Brussels, we would start to test the CCNSO members as to what issues they saw as being burning issues that might require a PDP and what were trivial or not worth concerning themselves with in terms of a PDP. I don't know.
So everyone's either died, I think, Keith, or...
Or you did an excellent job.
I still think we should not mix this up. We should carry on with the way we planned it and do one thing at a time.
So Eberhard,
I don't have a problem with looking at uncontested redelegation. But I think it's upsetting that we are changing our strategies or our agendas regularly.
What do you think, Eberhard? What shape do you think a document should take for Brussels? Then can you say what you think would be the right way to do it?
Well, also, or whether we need to have a document in Brussels as opposed to a report.
Well, that's also true, I suppose, Bill. That's a fair point, yes.
So, we should look at all the allegations that has been made and write it up whether we feel that in, as part of delegations, a policy development process is required in our opinion. And then we deal with the delegations at the next meeting. That was the plan. I don't really see now a reason to put this all together. It makes it all much more complicated and more difficult for everybody concerned.
So, Eberhard, what you're saying is it's possible that the existing delegation process is not out of scope and is not a problem, and we should report on that in one way or another.
That can well be. I don't know. I haven't been finishing reading all these things yet, and I haven't come to a final opinion on that. But my point is more that we should... We have set up this as the way we're going to do this. I don't think there's a really good, urgent need to change this again. I think we should deal with one thing at a time.
Okay. So, again, I think we've got clear positions from both Bill and Eberhard.
Well, I'm not sure my position is so clear. I like the idea of the holistic approach insofar as that we need to find out as much as we can, you know, not putting things in pigeonholes and, like, ignoring things as we're developing information. But I also, you know, just from an editorial point of view and a structuring a document point of view, I like the idea of creating sections or chapters of a report rather than trying to sort of, just sort of create a large, relatively unorganized conceptual document.
I absolutely agree with
one,
that.
Delegation bill. Chapter 2, redelegation chapter 3, whatever that we want to call it, revocation. And
Bill,
have to do the whole thing for Brussels, it gets me a little nervous.
Bill, I think, Chris, I agree with that. I think what I see and why one of the reasons why I changed my mind about this is because I see that there are so many connections that what you'd end up with is actually, you're right about needing to sort of like maybe chapters or sections or whatever, I think. But what you'd end up with is sort of each one of the issues would have a diagram that simply said, you know, that showed that this decision or this report affects both delegation, redelegation. This one affects delegation and retirement. This one affects, they're so interlinked. To take a simple example, it's actually quite hard. Well, it's not a simple example at all. It's a complicated example. It's quite hard to look at the retirement of .yu in isolation from the delegations of RE and MS, RS and ME.
Yeah, no, that
because
very strongly.
The two things are tied together. Yeah, exactly. And I think Bernie's notes say, you know, it appears that there was pressure brought to. The delegation, or it appears from the notes that the delegation of ME and RS involved discussions about the requirement that they would retire YU. So it's quite hard, it seems to me, to try and do it in three separate groups. Whereas I completely agree with your point that it's necessary to structure any document with the three things separately identified. I wonder, Keith, whether given this is quite an important issue of how we move forward, whether we couldn't perhaps get a proposal and send it out to the list to see what people think.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, firstly, let's test the people who are on the call, and yes, we certainly wouldn't move in that direction without general consent from. Or consensus within the list. I just wonder if Bernie might like to comment, given he's been the closest of us all to the subject in terms of the research. Bernie, what's your feelings in terms of an approach here?
A few things. One, I think we've gone through pretty much all the material that we can find that is going to be relevant to what we're talking about. We've done the RFC, ICB-1, GAC principles comparison. We've looked at Kim's current practices for delegations, redelegations. We've gone through every delegation, redelegation, retirement decision that has been made under ICANN's watch and for which there is information. We've gone through all the IANA contracts. We've gone through all the ICANN MOUs with the Department of Commerce and TIA. We've gone through all board decisions which are not purely relevant to a delegation, redelegation, retirement, but relevant to those things in a general matter. And we have a bunch of information. There may be other things that we will want to look at and analyze and see how they play. But in the context of what I understand is the framework we're trying to get done within the working group, just from looking at data, I think we've scoured around. So in my mind, regardless of the approach we take, these analyses I have produced are an opinion. If these things are to be considered issues, I believe it's the work of the working group to actually look at these things and decide if there are potentially issues or not. Ideally, you know, in the perfect world, things would be issues or not, be black and white, but as we know, that usually doesn't happen. So probably an initial go-round of looking at these things and trying to classify them as big, medium, small would probably be very useful, and then we could decide if we want to go through the exercise of really doing a good formal analysis of the things that we think are big issues. And because I think there's several things we're trying to do here. You know, obviously the policy framework and the CCNSO relationship with the board relative to that framework, there's a lot of fuzziness around a lot of edges, for better or for worse. I'm not commenting either way, but that just seems to be the reality. And I think regardless how we approach this, the working group is going to have to go through this and look at this material at some point and classify it and decide if these things are issues or not. So, not to expound too longly on this, regardless of trying to, I'm not looking at us being at a point where we can decide to put all points together for a final report for Brussels. I think we're a little bit far from that. Oh, however, what I think may be interesting is putting all the issues, the potential issues we've identified, and getting the working group to go through them and marking them as what kind of issues they are and doing some homework on them as a grouping could be useful to everyone. For Brussels. Did that make any kind of sense?
It did to me. And just to add to that, yes, it was never my intention that we would try and produce any form of final report for Brussels, more just a highlight of, you know, these are the potential issues that CCNSO members and other CCTLD operators should start to amuse themselves with, you know, prioritise which, you know, what level of importance they would attach to individual issues along the way. And I think, you know, that would help shake out a future chaptered report on issues that are related to delegations, redelegations, and retirement. So, yeah, I think, to me, you know, Bernie's been so efficient in his work that we've actually got ahead of the game, and to sort of slow down again and just deal with delegations at this point seemed to me to be counterproductive to where we are currently.
Can I add just an extra perspective?
Mm-hmm.
So from the processing point of view, I mean, I don't want to prescribe to the group how it should tackle the issues, but when it comes to delegations and redelegations, we don't treat them any differently in terms of processing. Now, when it comes to one of the criteria, particularly sort of demonstrating that ongoing stability of the domain is retained, then for new TLDs, that's generally not applicable, although obviously in the case of a retirement where there's a transition happening from a previous domain to a new domain, that has some applicability. But in the general case, you know, we follow the same checklist internally. We apply the same criteria. There's a slightly higher burden to do a redelegation than a delegation, but I would say that 95% of the process is identical. You obviously still need to prove you have an ISO code, you need to show technical and operational competence, you need to discuss, you know, government involvement and so forth. So I don't know if that will help guide your decision, but that's how we treat it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Kim. So any other comments, more particularly from people who haven't spoken yet, as to any feelings you have? Well, I wonder if, rather than just my fuzzy thinking, if I spend some time preparing a proposal to the working group and post it to the list and invite comments on the list.
Keith?
Yes?
Patricio here. To me, it seems that the process that's most easily separated for the purposes of analysis is the one of retirement. Now, for the rest, the delegation and redelegation, what it seems to me is that a redelegation is a composition of two things. It's the revocation or whatever, it may be voluntary or not, and then the appointment of the new delegate. And that second part, I think it's much better to analyze together with the initial delegation. I think it's essentially the same process, should be in the same chapter.
Okay, thanks, Patricia. But what about where there's a new delegation and a subsequent requirement to retirement because a new country code is formed and an old one is about to be deleted from ISO list? You know, they're inherently linked together. So can you look at them in isolation, do you think, Patricia?
No, I was not advocating a complete isolation, but just it has fewer links, I would say. It's not as connected as everything else. But I feel you're right in saying that some delegations have as a condition the retirement of something else.
Just to echo Patricio's comments, I don't think there really is any touch point or established policy for a revocation. None comes to my mind except what has been done by ICOM so far itself, and basically I think it's been catch as catch can, or however, you know, they've been shooting from the hip or whatever. So yeah, I do think it certainly needs to be looked at independently in one way or another. The concept of, you know, the fact that there has been this, and I would say informal, maybe I'm not informed by the use of that word, informal connection between a new delegation and an agreement to a revocation is, to me, a more clear indication of the lack of that established policy or procedure, and I would say that that's more directly related to the revocation process and not to the delegation process per se, i.e., it's just something they decided to do, and you know, this for us to make it part of the delegation process is in some ways to concede that without actually challenging it or questioning it. I don't know if I'm making my point clear, but you know, I think revocation is a totally new thing and should be considered as such.
So I'm not sure I quite understood exactly all the points you were trying to make, but I can say that definitely in the time of ICANN and on the basis of the documentation I have at hand, very likely for the entirety of the history of CCTLDs, when a TLD has been replaced by another TLD, on the ISO standard, whoever was performing the INA function at the time has required that the domain being replaced be retired. That's certainly true of all the domains that have been delegated during the time of ICANN, and what correspondence we have available suggests that was the case prior to ICANN as well.
And is this part of your work, Bernie? Have you done research on all these?
Could you clarify the question just so I understand, and let me help you? Are you asking me if in the retirements, in all cases, as Kim has stated, it was a request? I'm uncertain because there are some weird cases. They're documented. There are not a lot of them, and I think the reports are there, so we can read them in and decide if that is actually the case.
The only one that keeps pounding me in the head is the .uk change and GB existing for some indefinite period of time. I'm not sure. I have no immediate knowledge of what happened there.
Yeah, that was before they were keeping documentation, so I don't have access to that stuff. But
any information that we can glean from UCAM or anybody else there would help clarify my thinking.
Sure. I mean, I don't think it's necessary.
I might do memory dump of .uk being deleted and popping up again, but I don't have documentation.
So I would just say that we can go into more detail later, I suspect, but under current policy, both UK and GB are eligible. And, you know, we've spoken to the operators of GB asking, given that UK is delegated, do you still want to keep GB? And they've made it clear that they do. But as it's still an ISO 3166-1 code, you know, under current policy, it's eligible.
Well, wait. Can I just ask a question? UK, if it hadn't been delegated, would it be delegatable under current policy?
No. And that's
okay.
I think that would be as delegatable as .eu as a CCTLD.
Right. Exactly. I completely agree with you, Keith. I just wanted to make sure I knew what was what the current policy was.
The current policy is, in accordance with a resolution by the board on the 25th of September 2000, is that under certain circumstances, Alpha 2 codes that are not on ISO 3166-1 but are listed as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency can potentially be delegated. So, you know, it's an interesting thought experiment as to whether UK would be delegated today, but it clearly is on the exceptionally reserved list. And
right.
Their resolution in 2000 opens the door for that to happen.
And is that in a policy document? I'm sorry if I've missed something.
No, it's not in a policy document, and I think that is an example of where the ICANN board may have stretched the limits of the policies, where they actually explained in that decision that they were interpreting the policy or the statement in RSC 1591 quite liberally in attending to the delegation of .eu. So I guess they saw, in the absence of any opposition,
their ability to be quite liberal in their interpretation of the policies in place. And that is very much one of the issues that I have highlighted on my list as being a discussion point as to whether the ICANN board did step outside of their policy scope in that instance.
I mean, just to be really clear, I was involved in that because the original request came to the U.S. government, and frankly, I didn't particularly care whether the commission had .eu or not, but it was my position that the U.S. government certainly didn't have any authority under the existing policy to, you know, make a decision that something on the exceptionally reserved list got to go on.
Just for clarity, I mean, I'm not sure what your definition of policy is, but certainly the exceptionally reserved provision is in the draft documentation that was circulated to the working group last year.
Well, my definition of policy at that point was really, really basic and sort of we don't want the U.S. government making these decisions. There's supposed to be a rule set, and the documentation at that time clearly said 3166-1, and .eu was not on 3166-1. So from what the United States government considered the policy at the time that issue came up in the summer of 2000, I was certainly not prepared to say that that was within the IANA policy structure at that point. Now, that is not to say I take exception to whatever expedience the board might have decided to do, but it does highlight what I considered the significant danger associated with not having a policy that was clear, because, you know, there is this issue about who gets to decide and why, and, you know, whether it's the U.S. government or the ICANN board exercising discretion about what is and is not a country code. That seems to me to be problematic.
So I just one final comment, well, hopefully a final comment for me, which is that effectively, with the exception of EU, ICANN inherited a lot more exceptionally reserved codes than it's assigned. So UK is obviously one. AC, Ascension Island, is another today, and it still is the case. Also, at the time ICANN came to be, GG for Guernsey, JE for Jersey, possibly one or two others were also exceptionally reserved at that time. So ICANN passed its resolution in 2000, but in a sense it was grandfathering six or so TLDs that were in this exceptionally reserved state from prior to ICANN. Now, obviously, EU has been delegated since then, and some of those exceptionally reserved codes have since been promoted to being, I guess, full ISO standard codes. So there's really only three left now that are delegated. But, you know, but basically most of these are grandfathered prior to ICANN, I guess is my point.
If I may add to this, I mean, even UK was already grandfathered by Postel. I mean, it slipped in by accident. Then after that, actually, finally, the 3166 list was adapted. It got removed from the route, but since there were so many delegations, it got reinstated again as an exception. So it's even beyond, I mean, it's really prehistoric.
All I'm saying is, you know, it seemed perfectly fine for John Postel to make the kinds of exceptions that he felt comfortable making. In a world in which we don't have John Postel, the sort of exceptions, I think, become more complicated, that's all. And I'm not, and Kim, I'm not, you know, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, I think, you know, the more exceptions that there are, the more complicated the work of Ayanna will be.
I mean, I agree, and, you know, I would say very clearly that the only exception to the ISO standard is what's deemed exceptionally reserved, which is a very small set. But, you know, each one of those poses its own complications, and UK is one, EU is another. SU is, I would say, unfortunately, another two, because they have recently had themselves added to the exceptionally reserved list, I think in an attempt to retain SU as a CCTLD, and that's obviously something that needs to be dealt with as well. And, you know, each one presents complications, so I'm certainly not disagreeing, but I think the only action in ICANN's era pertaining to exceptionally reserved has essentially been EU and EU only.
Yeah, I think the issue to me is that 1591 isn't particularly clear on the ISO 3166 list, in as much as, you know, under country codes, the statement in 1591 is, the IANA is not in the business of deciding what is and what is not a country. The selection of the ISO 3166 list as a basis for country code top-level domains was made with the knowledge that ISO has a procedure for determining which entities should be and should not be on that list. So there's no absolute clarity in terms of 1591 as to whether ISO 3166 list means plus the reserved list or just the delegated list. And so, you know, I guess the question that comes up is that there were some delegations made prior to ICANN and not documented as to the reasons why from that reserved list. So ICANN's board has drawn a somewhat long bow in saying, well, that gives us sufficient interpretation of that policy line to delegate.eu. And I'm not sure in my mind that they actually had the ability to make that decision. And I'm sort of a little surprised that Becky is saying that the US government sort of said, well, no, we're not going to get involved in that at all. And yet ICANN said, you know, we don't mind making a decision on that basis. So that worries
me. From my perspective, it was much preferable. But here's where I lived. The first day the, you know, white paper came out, I got a call from the Secretary of the Department of Interior who said, we want a top-level domain for native sovereign nations, which are independent territories in the United States. And I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Secretary, it's not on the 3166-1 list. End of story. When the Palestine Authority got an area code and got on the ISO 3166-1 list, I said, it's on the list, Mr. President. There's nothing. And so when the commission came to me and said we want .eu, I said, you do not want the U.S. government to make some exceptions. It's insane.
Yeah.
The fact that ICANN did it is of far less consequence to me, but all I'm saying is that, you know, my experience was that, you know, whether John picked the right list or not, it was the list. And from the perspective of fulfilling the U.S. government's commitments to the international community not to muck around with it, we weren't going to have anything to do with it.
Yep. But, I'm a little bit interested. I think we need to actually get back on topic, but this is quite a fascinating little walk down a side road at the moment.
But Keith, it's Bill.
Yep.
On topic, which is where this started, I think we've just gone through enough discussion to know that maybe we do need a completely separate issue addressing this revocation concept.
Retirement, you mean?
Yeah, as Patricio had said.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, I think there's points for and against, and I think other than Eberhard, no really strongly held opinion one way or the other. So I wonder if I could summarise, post a précis to the list and test the list's desire to more shake the tree to produce an issues paper for Brussels that won't confine itself purely to delegations, but try and summarise all the issues that we've seen from Bernie's analysis work, and look to add any new issues that members may raise in the CCNSO. And if it looks too complicated as an outcome from that, we'll resile back to our delegations, re-delegations and retirement, three separate steps work. But if it shapes reasonably, then perhaps we can look at it more holistically after Brussels. So would everyone be in reasonable agreement with that I propose on the list a path and invite discussion and see if we can tie up the threads on our next conference call?
Keith, can I suggest what might be more suitable? Yes, that's fine from my point of view, but maybe it would be useful if you actually set out the two different pathways instead of just making one proposal.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Jerem?
Oh,
It seems that there are certain cases where the retirement issue is separate from redelegation. But from what Kim has said, it also seems very likely that many of the redelegation cases are very similar to, have things very much in common with a delegation. So I'm thinking, even if we do decide to do it separately, a delegation thing separately, can we add comments saying there are so many cases that also include re-delegation process that are basically very similar to the delegation process?
Okay, thanks,
Jeremy. Am I making myself clear?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments then? Or are you happy with the proposal? I'll post the list. We have two alternate pathways, either the original prescribed pathway or the concept of developing issues from here through to Brussels, issues discussion at Brussels, and then seeing where that leaves us after Brussels, whether we go back to the individual three lines of work or deal with it holistically. Is everyone reasonably happy with that? And we'll feel free to make their comments on the list.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Well, I guess in that discussion, we also did cover off our schedule to Brussels in a way, and I assume that everyone has noted the proposed conference call schedule through to Brussels. It was posted in the minutes of the last meeting. Is there anything else on the topic of the new documents or the schedule to Brussels that anyone wishes to raise? No. Okay. Moving along then, any other business? Just one item that I have. Christina has offered to tidy up the wiki in terms of numbering and cataloguing the documents as the documents build on that site, and I've encouraged her to do so. I think it's getting quite messy at the moment, so having a better library of our documents would be very useful. Okay, anything else? The next meeting is in a week's time on the... and at 600 UTC.
600 UTC.
Yeah. Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you all very much for your contributions today, and we'll talk to you again in a week, if not before.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, bye.